Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. Had an interesting week, and we're going to dive into the markets.
Yeah, so it's kind of been significant how Bitcoin has had its eighth consecutive weekly red candle. So it's been, not much has changed since last week. It's kind of been seesawing back and forth. So Bitcoin, it dipped like back to 28 like early in the week, but now it's at like 30, similar to last week. And then ETH was at like 1900. It's been hovering around 2000. So market hasn't really changed. It's more of like still pretty bearish, I think.
ETH is above 2 though.
Yeah, it's
and
like
that's a key
barely,
support level where barely. There's like 30 and 2. And people are like up or down, and it's kind of, you know,
it's definitely
from Gladiator,
like
no one knows which way it could go.
Right,
yeah.
So,
but it's kind of crabbing, but like people feel they're on the precipice of like jumping off a cliff, or
I think
it's been enough consolidation where people are saying, is it about time for like a jump up? But everybody says, is it the bottom?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough to say. You know, it could. With the way the macroeconomics
doesn't look good.
Yeah,
monkeypox.
NASDAQ is S&P is like down.
So actually, in terms of macro, out. Relatively, Bitcoin is outperforming stocks.
Yeah, S&P is done terribly. Like, and it's probably only going to get worse with inflation and they're tightening the rates. So. Yeah, it's hard to invest your money right now.
They're saying no, or I can see, because I'll be going to Europe soon. And then I also know, because I transact with people in India, dollar is still the safe haven, which is like ridiculous.
Well, the euro, you were telling me earlier, the euro is
almost at parity with the dollar,
yeah,
which is insane.
Usually it was always higher than the dollar. It
got up to $1.40, $1.60. Maybe I was in the dollar 20s when I was in business school, but $1.06 is, they have
dollar
socialized
zero
healthcare,
six,
but they right? make way less.
It's $1.06.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's crazy. Like we are in a bear market for real.
For the world. No, this is
yeah.
a recession.
Yeah. For real.
I mean, yeah, there's shortages. There's famine.
Yeah.
I think we're a bit removed from the reality. Like, we're somewhat like, if we're giving you macro news, parts of the world are really, Sri Lanka, if you guys haven't heard about, has entered default, and then they might have to hand over certain things to China as collateral, like some ports.
Yeah.
And their people are starting to loot and burn the people with houses and money. Like apparently if you have a business or if you're rich.
Yeah, housing market's about to crash, or like, you know, the bubble's about to pop, mortgage rates are increasing. So it's not looking good for people trying to invest, or like, you know, people trying to do anything.
Well, people are looking for a safe haven. I mean,
it's hard to find one.
I've seen some libertarian Twitter people. Every time I see a health emergency, it just tells me to buy bullets and guns.
Apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, people joke about the zombies are next, or the alien invasion. Like, first it was COVID, then it's like inflation
and
problems.
It was the baby food.
Yeah, and then next is like monkeypox.
Yeah.
How far are we from the alien invasion?
The Congress had a hearing on UFOs recently.
It kind of got, I mean, this, a lot of people just don't seem to care about a lot of things.
Well, it's hard to when inflation's high and you're
treading water.
Yeah, treading water.
Yeah.
So it's tough. But like on a crypto scale, like people, like I think mainstream, you see a lot of people reporting that Luna crash and how crypto is kind of dead, summarizing like Wall Street Journal had an article where it was like crypto had 13 years to, you know, be a financial freedom for people, but it has not yet proven that was the case. Basically, WSG, RJ, and then GQ even had a crypto article, you know, talking about the crypto.com founder, where we talked about how it was like the stadium was bullish, the naming rights, and then crypto.com coin CRO went up, and then it just dipped. It's crashing. So people are saying crypto's dead.
I would say, though, like, everything is getting murdered. And BlackRock and Vanguard, Citadel, the people that bet against GameStop, they are folding. No, Citadel.
No, that wasn't Citadel. It was that
the
Mumford
Capital. Ken Griffin.
Yeah.
It was
their capital. It wasn't
Citadel. No, it wasn't Citadel.
It wasn't Citadel. It was
Melvin.
Melvin Capital, yeah.
They're folding. Apparently, there are other venture capital firms that are folding, funds that are folding, people with large, large chunks of investor money that are folding.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life out there.
And from there, there are people whose businesses are jacking up rates. Apparently, the restaurant industry is like just going to get murdered because people can't afford it. The amount of restaurants will decrease by 30 to 50%, apparently.
Yeah, it's crazy.
People don't realize that we're not maybe through the worst of it.
Well, people can't even afford to eat out anymore. Like
people. And the restaurants do ghost kitchens. They were trying to do a $48 billion rescue package. They did a $40 billion Ukrainian weapons package. And so inflation will continue to rage on.
Things are
like inflation will continue. It'll be some of the worst inflation that we've seen in our lifetimes.
Yes.
I mean, it already is. So,
I mean, everyone's saying like we're fucked, that kind of stuff. And like you can see like people on crypto Twitter, like go out, touch grass, you know, like things are pretty bad. So might as well, like, don't stare at screens, you know, go outside. We golfed, you know.
The interesting thing, though, is that the other people are hurting as well. So BlackRock and Vanguard, what they had done is they're rebalancing from their growth and tech stocks into energy. And on a macro scale, people are looking for a safe haven. It's like there's musical chairs, but actually no one has a chair.
Yeah, like if you invest in FANG, like Netflix is down, you know, 85%. Netflix is
down super hard. ARK Investments, which is a basket of like emergent technologies. Uber, a lot of startups are cutting jobs. A lot of people are getting laid off.
Yeah,
it's tough. Kind of a bloodbath, like. Might be worse than we've seen before.
No, especially in, I mean, for us being like, you know, not in school, you know, young professionals in our 30s, this is like probably the first time we've hit like in a recession. Like we were in high school when 2008 hit, so we didn't feel it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this is now we're on our own. We're out of school. We got jobs. So definitely counting pennies more, saving in, you know.
Well, you can sense it. And I think that everybody else, like, luckily, if you can work remote, the big thing is that you can avoid expenses of traveling to work.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a lot of extra expenses because you end up not having as much energy to cook your own food. I stay at home. I can cook my own food. I don't have to drive anywhere.
Yep.
So these are things that change things. But now they're trying to force people back into the office because there's been a lag in people's productivity.
And real estate, too. They bought office buildings expecting people to, you know, work in them. And, like, if everyone's working remote, you're kind of wasting an investment on a building are paying rent for people's not using. So that's like hurts your bottom line. I know that for, you know, just software companies and, you know, Madison.
Well, and they've been talking about the everything bubble and the idea of the everything bubble. And we were chilling and having a good time having some food with Varsha, but really on the macro level, this is like perhaps, and the difficult thing is that it'll have a knock-on effect, and what's happening now will hurt in a few months. The lockdowns in China, yeah. The sustained amount of Ukraine problems, the problems in Europe that will then everything, like, it's funny because I went to school in Europe, and in Europe, if America sneezes, Europe gets a cold. If Europe has cancer, like, America gets a cold. But, like, we'll get a cold because, like, Europe has cancer. Like, yeah. If our kind of small, weak friend.
They have no gas pipeline. They all got gas from Russia.
The amount of inflation that's happening, soon there might be protests in the streets. And, I mean, there are parts of Europe that already have protests in the streets, you know, where France, they had the yellow vests. I've got a friend who's Dutch. If you're not Dutch, you ain't much. they're talking about getting out of the Euro. Nexit. Brexit. Nexit. Italy is like kind of like starving on austerity. Germany might do better. The only thing is Germany has control of like a failing union. And not to be political about it, I'm just being honest, and I think many people might not know this about it, but my friend has serious feelings about the fact that there's unelected governments in Europe that are kind of in charge of a lot of the monetary policy. The ECB, the European Central Bank, is, I mean, can you say that anybody's doing well, but is it on the fault of the central banks? Are you an apologist for these large global companies, or are you on the side of Bitcoin? Like, we've been doing macro and talking about the world, but we'll get back to crypto. Like, is it a hedge? There's a lot of inflation on a lot of currencies. We're in the dollar and we see inflation, but inflation is worse in foreign countries, and they're weakening against the dollar. And as an American that uses dollars, I almost find that that's like foolish. Like, it doesn't make sense, but that means all the other currencies are worse than ours, and ours is bad.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it's nothing's like mine as well. What do you got to lose at this point? Where it's like
gold, Krugerrands, or people are joking.
Everything
is
bad.
If only I had put my whole portfolio into gasoline and lentils, like,
yeah,
basic goods. Like, what are you actually? Used cars,
oil,
gasoline.
Oil was negative.
There is apparently a person that made $51 million because the issue was that there wasn't transportation due to the supply chain issues. So the person bought a ton of oil futures and then just arranged for the transportation and got some warehouses. And they bought oil at negative, but all they had to do was cover the transportation cost. And apparently they made $50 million.
They're paying you to buy oil.
And now oil is through the roof.
Yeah. That's like the trade of this last 10 years at least.
Moving crypto into luxury cars and luxury watches, that would have been a great trade.
Yeah.
Buying used cars, buying gasoline.
Used cars. Everyone, they're not even using the used. They want your used car for the microchip for new cars, because there's just a warehouse of empty cars. And they don't have enough microchips because there's only two places in the whole world.
You get conspiratorial and you see in California, they're trying to outlaw gas combustion engines or the sale of them. And then every car is going to have a chip in it. And then.
Well, yeah.
That's too tinfoil hat though. Like, let's move forward with it.
But yeah, so the one thing that did happen this week in crypto was in our home state was VCon NFT.
Shout out Gary V.
Yeah, Gary V They had it at the U.S. Bank Stadium, great venue. And with ETH down, what do you think? It seemed it was very commercial oriented because of a lot of entertainment, pop culture, people. It didn't seem to be that busy because it seemed like they wanted to be an exclusive event. Like they airdropped the tickets to people. It was an NFT, and through Third Market or like through OpenSea selling, people were buying these for like 2 ETH when they came out. And then I think like
0.18 was the bottom, but it was at 0.23.
Yeah,
it didn't get back up to 3.3.
So that's like brutal, you know.
Which is similar to Milady's.
If you bought at 2.2,
but
we'll talk about Milady's later. But yeah, we'll talk about VCon.
Apparently, a lot of the influencers though, like, had gotten flown out.
Yeah.
It
didn't seem that busy. I don't know. I don't think NFT craze has hit Minnesota.
I would say, though, I think that the whole Luna thing.
Yeah, it hurt the whole overall market.
And it's kind of the whole thing where it's like these conferences are just like maybe top signals. Like, oh, there's a big conference. Like, let's just get out before that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, every time it seems like the Bitcoin conferences. What I was going to mention, though, was when I went to the conference, the Bitcoin conference with Brian, it seemed way different than this year. When I went with my dad, I would say that the VCon, from what I saw, it's like it's early.
Yeah, I think now that you, I think
you still feel early if you're into NFTs
at this point. You know,
kind of garbage right now.
Yeah, no, yeah. So the thing is that it's very gimmicky.
Yeah,
it's very gimmicky. Like
OK Bears and not OK Bears.
The possibilities of NFT is, you know,
immense,
right? But we're at a technology right now where we're not there yet. So we can only use it for like very basic things like tickets. You know, a lot of like Coachella use NFT as a ticketing thing. You know, VCon is as a ticket, proof that you own, you know, there's no, secondhand or scalper on the street. Like you can get the ticket and proof that you own a ticket.
I've been talking about it with Brian, though. The roadmap, I think that actually the most powerful NFT project is ENS. The thing that scares me is that someone will outcompete them. But the idea that you will have a domain name that's also your private wallet address that also will show off your NFTs, I feel like OpenSea could have done this already.
Basically, it is some degree.
It's like, you know, they're just patching all the different pieces of it, but they're giving it a much simpler address wallet name, .eth.
But how is that any different than
you can do .com, .NFT, .this, .that. OpenSea doesn't have the wallet functionality.
But
it can be tied to your wallet that has like a long name.
Yeah.
But I think that .eth has other functionalities as well. Because you can program it like a homepage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now they're doing subdomains. And apparently they're doing something it's where they'll like, sublease subdomains.
Yeah, it's like back in the day, I just remember when you're like fourth grade, you go to camp, and then you make a webpage for yourself. And then you put the webpage of like pictures. You get the tally, how many people visit your website. So you build a web page from scratch. Basically, similar to what ENS is for what it was like back in the day for internet, where it's like you're creating your own web page of you and all the stuff that you like, your NFTs.
And it's like a MySpace as
yeah,
well. It's like a personal profile.
Yeah, it's a collection for you.
And
that
did you see the Vitalik tweet about it?
I didn't
find it. But, I mean, what do you think about them? Because I have quite a few. I also own domain names.
ENS, I think they're just fun. They're fun things. Like, people got to actually, like, build on them, right? Like, if we're so on a infancy stage for NFTs, like we're in the infancy stage of, you know, Web 2, like,
and well, like, I have domains and I have cryptomemes.com and .eth. And the .eth, it's like a new market that's blown up. And I'm wondering how to buy and sell. They're building a marketplace. There's this guy, Daniel Got Hits. And I always think it's Daniel Goth Tits. He's at VCon. So the three-digit ENSs. If you have three numbers, the floor is like 17 Ethereum.
Yeah, there's a big deal. Like, we kind of talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like three-digit, like, as a rare. Four-digit is rare, or has like some kind of rarity to it, where it's like if you have a three-digit ENS, like it's probably worth more.
And they pair it with Bored Apes, and this is kind of a question about NFTs, is like, what will really survive? Because Bored Apes is kind of like the first adopter, even though they like overtook CryptoPunks as the first adopter. But CryptoPunks always said fuck Bored Apes, but actually Bored Apes ate them. Yuga Labs bought Larva Labs. They bought CryptoPunks and Meebits. So how can they really say that? But then, is there going to be a next Bored Ape? Or is it going to be a conglomerate? Or who knows? There was a really funny tweet I saw about business where they were saying that Yuga Labs market capitalization was like the same price that like Microsoft paid for like, I want to say Zoom or Xbox. There was an interesting comparison where there was like a real business and they compared that to the brand value of Bored Apes. And Bored Apes is just like a crypto NFT project that just blew up. And will something take that over in the future? Will ENS be just like a memory of the past, or?
Yeah, we'll see. Like, it seems like it's very similar to N when that came out, where it's like you had five different words. And like that gained a lot of steam, but not really. You know, like, we'll see. Like, domain names are domain names. I think, I mean, like, the idea is basically, you know, domain names, buying and selling, but in Web3. So that alone has some power.
But the thing is, so you need to explain and understand that when you add an anonymous domain name to a wallet that can accept Ethereum or other coins, what you're doing is you're naming private wallets.
Yeah, that's true.
So it makes it much easier. That's like one of the things that they're talking about. And while we're talking about building on top of, so I have a website development team. I have a couple web developers working for me. They do .coms. They work on WordPress. Now translating this to ENS is a bit tricky. Apparently what they've told me, and I'm not an expert, although I should know this better, is that they need like a static web page that they'll put on the ENS, but I need to like connect the ENS to my private wallet and then create a special type of, you know, website. What they're going to do is they're going to keep adding functionalities. They're going to add subdomains that you can lease to other people. The ENS is also going to be doing displays of NFTs and NFT verification. I mean, the team keeps working. And so is somebody else going to replace it instead of .eth, you do dot something else? But it seems like the team going in the right direction. I don't know, from what I understand.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. I mean, NFTs right now.
Well, and that was the one Richard.eth got the 50 ETH offer.
Oh.
But it could be bullshit. Right?
I don't know. I think with N, what it that in what how other trends have taught me is that you got to get it while it's hot. Like, you got to sell while it's hot. Who cares what it's could be? No, if I got a 50 author offer for a domain name, I would take it.
Well, that's what they say, is that the people that have held Bored Apes the whole time have made a ton of money, and then apparently they know each other. You can actually, this is going to be like fucking history in the future. Who were the first Bored Ape holders? Who actually held the whole time through all the airdrops?
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, some of the people profited off of just having a Bored Ape.
Well, the serum, having a serum, selling a serum.
No, but imagine you didn't sell anything, but you could just make money off of being, you know, OG. Like, you got the serum, you got the mutant apes, you got the kennel clubs, you got the ape token, you got the other deeds, and you just happen to have enough money, so that's not a big deal. Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're a celebrity, you can afford to buy one and just hold it. Right,
but think of if you're broke and you just hold it the whole time, because you're just like a psycho.
That's like the short-term, long-term game, right? Like finite game versus infinite game.
And those are the people who are like, I've held through like 10 figures and like four. Or like, you know, the people who are like, I've gone through all these cycles and I've been up and down. And it's like, you actually are, people need to understand what actually comes out on the other end of crypto, where it's like the really successful people typically are kind of like neurotic.
Well, you gotta, the only way to find out is to hold. So if you're, so yeah.
But hold what? And then people trade and change.
Blessing and a curse.
Some people trade all the time.
Double side sword.
Some people were in crypto and then they moved to NFTs. And you always hear that you just need that one trade to make it all. But there's so many people that were up big and then down big.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I made it. But like, no, it's going to keep going.
Yeah.
Oh. It's dipping, like, no, but it's gonna bounce.
It's gonna bounce.
Keeps dipping. I met a like young kid that lost 10K. It's a 23-year-old.
Did it seem like that? Yeah.
They scraped together everything they could, and it's just like gone. It was off Luna UST, and I was like, dude, that sucks. UST was supposed to be.
You were the chosen one. You were the chosen one. Obi-Wan to Anakin, basically.
Should we just like breeze through the M'Lady thing?
Yeah, so one of the big, like, this is probably the biggest story of the week, which is basically M'Lady's NFT project. Basically kind of look like their PFP. Basically, how would you describe M'Lady's? Like,
it's like actually
90s I've been, Zelda fathead.
I've been digging deeper into the layers. And some of the shirts that they had with, like, some of the slogans were, like, really deep. So, like, there's, like, some...
But how would you describe the art, though? It's, like, a
it's just
90s
like a, it's
trading
like,
card, like...
It almost reminds me of, like,
video
a...
Video game.
Well, it reminds me of Matisse, where they, like, cut out the pieces of paper and stick them on top of each other.
You're giving them too much credit. Like, you're comparing
well,
them
there's
to
a big piece. Circle, which is the head, and then there are eyes, and then there's, like, there's just, like, a few shapes. It's literally, like, a few shapes.
That's why it, like, looks like a 90s, like, video graphic kind of thing, where it's, like, yeah. Very,
It's, like, Dora the Explorer knockoff.
Diagonal.
She actually right. Looks like Dora the Explorer, but, like, just worse, right? Or, like, just, like, lower thigh.
Yeah, yeah, with more, like, like points diagonal, like it's very blocky, you know, like veggie, really pointy.
Regardless of the art, like, I mean, what I was saying was some of the traits, some of the shirts were kind of like edgy and had like
and
clever.
Apparently it was like a very diverse community, like a good, like,
then
women.
Their community meets apparently recently they had like a rave in New York at like some weird, I don't know, some like warehouse district, but apparently it was cool and people had fun.
Yeah, and then
apparently it was like a lot of drugged out people though, but
even like people in CT were like, our like main influencers were defending Milady Ace, which is,
well,
like,
you need to, you know, I'm gonna use the bathroom while you explain this because I'll give you a bit of space to explain it.
Okay, so basically, one of the founders has been very, how would you say, active on 4chan and Discords, making grooming or like writings of, you know, very, how do you say this, sexist, and then very manipulating, trying to groom cults, gaslighting, just very toxic and not good things, where there's evidence of him, you know, reading very, or having very, these radical thoughts that I don't even know that I should even, you know, talk about it on a podcast, where it's like just very, very dark, cultish, you know, homophobic, you know, all the bad words, you know, anti-Semitic, and just grooming women. Or like, yeah, that's basically like the threat. So I was like, grooming women, culting, and like, you know, verbally abusing them to the point where they're like committing suicide, like convincing them that they're going to be in the paradise island. So like, I don't want to, like, thinking back, I don't even think like we can even say this on a podcast. Like, this is like dark shit, right?
I mean, the thing about it was they were preying on girls that were having mental issues and they were underage. And there was suicide discussions, drug discussions, and sexual discussions. I think that kind of.
And there's a very good thread by 0xNGMI, not going to make it.
Yeah.
And he breaks down the evidence that like this is kind of true. Like, CoinDesk, it first released because there's a CoinDesk article, and they reference like 4chan threads, and then CryptoPathic went on, you know, did tweet that like, I don't want to be associated with this, and CryptoPathic is, you know, one of the
respected
NFT OGs, guys,
like really, really OG.
Really knows how to evaluate NFT projects.
No, really smart guy that's friends with Kobe, British guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, there were also some apologies for their behavior on their own behalf. So there was like people admitting that they did things wrong. And I mean, they were like kind of bullying people about their weight and saying like, go kill yourself or something. I don't know.
Had rules to date. Sonya's rules, he makes his harem of minors follow.
Yeah. And it was like a harem. And so they were, it's a weird community thing, but it was like a kind of depressing, it's weight loss, sex cult with drugs.
Manipulating, grooming, you know, young underage women.
Well, it was weird. They were having like a bit of a rally while everything else is going down, and then it came out and it dipped from 2 to 1.3, but then there was like kind of like a support, like, oh, we don't know if this is true. And I believe it bounced to 3 ETH, but now it's at 0.34, where basically everything has been corroborated.
Yeah. It's zero now. Like, cats out of the bag. Like, there's like proof Discord messages, like GitHub, you know, retracements that this is, and the person, the founder is like Maya, M-I-Y-A, or
Mia, I think. Mia and Sonia, but they're like two dudes.
Yeah. So it's dark shit for real.
But I mean, it's weird how you start to like see the darker side of stuff, and I mean, we can just touch on it briefly with like Phantom. Apparently Andre Cronin never left and is back, blah, 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 drama. And then also there's the Tomb stuff, which Brian and I haven't even really gotten to the bottom of. We've been like, is a Ponzi? Like, I don't get what's up with Phantom Tomb.
Well, it seems like it's an algorithmic stablecoin that's not really needed.
No, it's like what they were saying is that there's going to be another chain that's going to be like a Phantom side chain, which will be Tomb, and Tomb will be the gas of that. And then it'll like, I mean, yeah.
The fact that you're explaining it like this means very skeptical. You're not convincing me to buy Tomb.
No. And some people are like, buy T-shirt, it's undervalued. And T-shirt used to be like a lot per T-shirt.
It seems like it's like a combination of algorithmic stable coins and then Olympus DAO.
Just seems like a farming Ponzi to
me. It's like a combination of everything.
Mm-hmm. I keep farming stuff, but actually the amount of money I have overall is much lower.
Package.
Yeah, but
so right now
the thing is though, there was that one billionaire Roosh that was getting liquidated.
Yeah, that we talked about. Yeah.
Apparently that's over, and now I saw that Phantom bounced while nothing else was bouncing.
Yeah, it was up like 40% this weekend.
No.
So, I mean, you know, fundamentally, I think, I mean, mostly it was on that Andre news that he was, like, never gone.
I think it was, like, Roosh got washed out, and then, like, there are, like, people who are, like, there was a saying, I think, by Zusu where it was, like, size, when you trade size, size attracts not exit liquidity, but what's the opposite of it, where it's like size attracts sellers. Like if you buy a billion in a token,
you're gonna be like, oh, time to sell.
Yeah. And
because I might not get this chance again. Like once, these are people who are,
yeah, there's a lot of people shorting waiting for what was his name, the Asian dude who was apparently fucking people's wives.
Justin Sun.
It's like, this guy has like a big chunk, and if he gets liquidated, it'll drop 5%. So like, let's all short and wait until he... And then they say the whale hunters. And that's how it goes, because literally on the blockchain, you can see where the shorts are. That's why you need to be smart and like spread it out. But still, if you're doing crazy Doquan Bitcoin buys, God, what a fucking idiot. Everybody can see your Bitcoin buys, bro. And everybody can see how much money you're giving out in terms of UST on Anchor. It's a simple math equation. And we really called it out.
Well, it's getting shadier now that they're there's like tweets getting out that they let like, you know, major investors
get out first.
Get out first.
Yep.
When UST was at like 0.95.
No, or they got backed up in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So instead of being backed by like UST,
they got Bitcoin.
And someone was saying, who was it that got out at 93 cents on UST? It was like a huge VC, just like dumped super hard at 93. Sure. It's like some of the people that were backing it the whole time originally.
Like Jump or like,
I think it was or Delphi.
Delphi
got dicked, didn't they? There was one, it might have been Alameda or 3AC, where it was like, okay, they've been farming like 20% stables, and then it got to 93, and then they've been farming for a really long time. And it's the same as Ohm. It's musical chairs. Like you need to be quicker to the information. Like you need the alarm whistles. And actually we need to time it out and like get it.
I think we're even too slow by reading Twitter. I think you actually you need to actually be tracking wallets and transactions.
Well, that was what they were saying, was it's like, where are you in the human centipede of information? And wherever you think you are, well, we're too slow. If anybody's listening to us, they're definitely too slow. No offense. like whatever you hear,
hot potato.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, people saw, if you sold UST the moment it broke peg, smart move.
But the thing is that you don't even have time to react, where it's like you hear this move and you're like, what are you going to do? You're going to, because like, if you wait and see, you could get fucked. And like, so, that's what happened to me with, you know, time, where I was like, yeah, it's fun, but, you know, I believe in the project, blah, 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 blah.
Now just get out. Just
yeah, like, so it's like, you know, we have, over the course of this podcast, we've probably had many signs of FUD that just came to light, and then people, like, try to put out the fire, but it's actually pretty bad, and then you should sell. So, like, that's kind of warranted, you know, with Snowbank, and then, you know.
Yeah,
and then you have, you know, time, and then you have
A couple things like I've been hearing about, because I've been watching, and I've been going back to my roots of, there's a YouTube account, I think it's Benjamin something, but he does like Wall Street bet style trading, and it's the same market mechanics, although crypto is the Wild West. But what we were talking about with time and with Bitcoin or with everything, there's a way to do hedging. Yeah. If you're actually sophisticated, you can hedge yourself. If you had a stable coin and you opened a short that was leveraged, you pay interest basically for insurance. I don't know if people understand what I just said, so I'll repeat it.
Yeah. It's like you're buying insurance for your...
For if the house burns down.
Yeah.
Okay. The dollar coin isn't going to be worth a dollar. And then whoever's giving you insurance is like, dude, a dollar is a dollar. And I'm like, I'll pay you like 5% a year. And then if the dollar goes down, I'll make money because all of my other investments will be fucked.
Yeah.
And so let me lever up a little bit so I can get, like, if my house burns down, I can buy two houses. And then it's just interest payments on the loan.
You're willing to eat the cost to make sure it doesn't crash.
Yeah, but how many people that are just buying coins actually get insurance on?
No.
Who does futures out of the money puts?
No one.
On
no
UST.
One thinks.
No one was.
Ahead.
No one was.
We're all DJs.
No one was like low key with like very low interest, just betting
insurance
against the UST.
Who cares? Who cares about FDIC?
Yeah.
Right, like we're just,
that's actually a really complicated complex discussion.
Well, that's like more like regulators coming out, they want that. And then, you know, even Coinbase saying that, like, yo, if we go bankrupt, you know, the government could seize your coins.
Yeah, that's like, that's also, yeah,
so that's like this kind of the FDIC kind of aspect, which is, you know, kind of shady. Even, you know, I told family members that, and they're pretty, you know, savvy investors or whatnot. They've been in the investment or investing for a long time, and they're like, that's crazy. I'm like, that's scary.
Well, everything's going down, and so, like, what really is the...
Well, Coinbase is losing money where
you think
it's not.
But diamonds are, like, artificially screwed over by De Beers. Should we go into our shills though? I think it's about time to be like, all right, where do you hide your money? Like, just get like,
I don't even know.
Get some ghost guns. No, I don't know. This is not legal advice.
Ghost guns doesn't even exist.
Get some 3D printers and then just like take care, protect yourself.
I don't know, man. No. I think luxury goods is removed now. I think
collector's items, physical.
You can buy a Rolex.
Physical items.
Just buy it and then just store it.
I think things that will, in the future, seem... I mean, well, the weird thing is,
it's like buying gold.
The big question that has now come out is the flippening and the merge. Will the merge trigger the flippening?
We'll see. I mean, nothing. I don't even know. Like,
will,
what if it doesn't
will
happen,
ETH,
though?
Will ETH bounce harder than Bitcoin?
I don't,
that's
like
a deep question to ask.
The merge seems
I've
like...
always been talking about it. I've been an ETH fan for a long time.
The merge seems like a fairy tale. Like, is it actually going to happen? happen.
It was supposed to happen like what, a year ago?
No, I mean they said 2018. It's like CCIP for chain link. It's like,
yeah,
it's
staking, when staking.
So we'll see. I don't know. I think, I mean, if you want to, I'd still hold on just accumulating ETH. Why not? Or Bitcoin too, for that matter.
Mooncats. I still love the Mooncats. Like a no-brainer.
I don't know. Maybe Shiba dogs will catch on. The dog version of Mooncats.
I don't think so. Maybe.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Maybe the first NFTs on Solana or Phantom. Like, maybe ETH and Bitcoin get eaten by just like some superior technology, which could be Phantom, AVAX, Solana,
we'll see.
Luna. That's what like.
I think, well, yeah, I think.
NFTs, oh, and you right see the Luna fork? Like, dude, Luna Classic.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
Luna
so,
Classic.
Yeah, that's something we didn't touch on, but they announced the proposal plan.
Cringe.
Proposal plan, basically keeping the chain and renaming it Luna Classic and then creating a new one, which would be for the builders, which is like very cringe because it's like Ethereum Classic, Luna Classic. When's Luna Gold? Where's Luna Silver coming out? Like, these aren't Pokemon versions.
Dude, Luna, man. It actually didn't ruin, but I've just
heard
about
it. Well, he's like wanted. He's like, the South Korean government was like, you need to testify for what happened.
The weird thing is,
similar to like the congressional.
I don't mean to be like some classist person because I'm like the least of anybody to say this, but the majority of people, there's a lot of sad stories of people that lost their money. But
yeah,
but the majority of the money lost by Luna was people that can afford to lose their money. That's what I'm going to say. A lot of
like the big chunk
slush fund.
The big chunk of it are VCs. And like there are stories about, you know, Binance losing money.
Suzu.
Who's that one that lost so they announced that he was up like $3.5 billion, like staking Luna at the highest, and then it's like basically gone to zero.
No. It wasn't a guy.
It was a fund.
So what was happening was that Y Combinator, I had this idea like a long time ago. And I knew that it was there. And I'm glad that I didn't do it, but it's a smart idea. You do a neobank where you bring in money and then you act like a bank. But at the back end, you take their money and then you lend it to Luna. But it was $3.5 billion where these guys were like, yo, dude, we have this new idea. We're going to be a bank. And then at the back end, we're going to make money off of crypto staking.
Yeah. And so it was up when it was open. When it was up, like when Luna was up 120, it was worth like $4 billion.
Well, and they were acting like
now
they
it's
were
like worth like $2,000.
They were acting like they were geniuses. And all it was they were putting a front end on. All they were doing was user acquisition and then lending out to. They were just like salespeople for UST Anchor.
Yeah.
And I knew this. I almost did it on like a lower key level. And I tried to talk to people about it, but it wasn't a cool business to me. But you go around and you get people's dollars and say, I'll give you 20%. But you say, I'll give you 18 and you skim 2. And then you put it in Anchor. But then Anchor and Luna
crash, then you're fucked.
And those guys are going to jail. They were Y Combinator founders. They are going to jail for not properly weighing the risk, for defrauding their investors.
Disclosure.
I think they tried to do the cover up. The cover up is always worse than the crime. You lost their money, but don't try to cover it up and bullshit.
Yeah,
I think they tried to set. They
when you lost, you lost.
No, and they tried to say that they didn't lose it, and that's what sent them to jail. They sent like bad emails or something. I need to follow up with this story because it was scary.
Crypto is scary nowadays. The world is scary.
Everything is scary. Netflix is scary.
So try to find the joy in things, I guess.
Yeah. Touch some grass.
Yeah,
touch some grass. Bullish on grass.
Bullish on grass.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a good summer. It's warm. With global warming, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Peace. That was another episode of the Crypto Spark podcast. Thanks for listening. Peace.